Proverbs chapter 29. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. I want to preach this thought today, without remedy. Father, we thank you for the privilege that you've given us to stand this morning in the presence of thy people, Lord, to share the word of God. And Father, it's a daunting task this morning, as it always is, but today it feels even greater. Lord, there's a huge responsibility that's laid upon my shoulders. And Lord, I cannot, but Lord, I'll stand. And Father, I pray that you would fill us, you would speak to us and through us. And you'd help us, Father, to be careful to hear what the Spirit of the Lord has to say to the church, has to say to the lost and the dying. Father, this morning, we're entering into a very serious, a very solemn time together. And I pray, Lord, you'd help us this morning by your Spirit's power that we might examine ourselves. Loose us. Help us, Father, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. I want to ask just a couple of questions before I preach. How long have you done it? How long have you gotten away with it? How long have you known that this was wrong? How many times have you said, oh, I need to change? How many times have you been thinking you were going to give it up, but you've continued right on that path? Or have you gotten used to hearing about it? Have you gotten used to dealing with it? Hearing the preachers preach on those lines doesn't even bother you anymore. I want to say to you this morning, you hear me, there may not be a next time for you. It's very important that we understand that we do serve a God of second chances, and I'm thankful for it. The prodigal son is thankful for it. Jonah is thankful for it. Jehoshaphat is thankful for it. Probably every one of us here, if you're saved today, you understand what our God is, a God of second chances. But do not make the mistake of believing that you're never going to give an account for your actions. Do not make the mistake that it's always going to be this way. Hear me. There's going to be a time that God says, this is enough. He's done all he's going to do for you. I'm talking about a God that nothing is impossible to him. But because of your hard-heartedness and hardening your neck in rebelliousness and stubbornness to his will for your life, he's through with you. I could take you to churches, Ichabod. I could take you to individuals, Ichabod. First of all, I want us to see this morning the person that is addressed with this statement. The scripture says it is he. In Hebrew, it is the word ish. What does that mean? It's a human being. It means whosoever. That tells me, first of all, that you have a righteous awareness. The scripture here is speaking to someone. It's speaking to an individual. You've been told, and you've been taught the truth of the Word of God. It's someone who's been enlightened. It is not someone who has a lack of knowledge. It is not someone who has a lack of understanding. It is someone who has been enlightened to the truths of God's Word, but they have rejected what they hear. They have overlooked what they've been taught. And no matter where you stand this morning,
You have excused it. Well, it's my parents' fault, or it's my friend's fault. It's always somebody else's fault, isn't it? Well, it's the devil's fault, and it's the preacher's fault, and it's the deacon's fault, and it's the church's fault. God's sick of it. You have been caught and taught and told red-handed. You are aware of your condition. You've known about it for a long time. Maybe you've never been saved, and you know you need to be saved. What are you waiting on? Maybe you are backslidden. Maybe God has dealt with you and dealt with you and dealt with you about it. But you continue to go down this path. It's a slippery slope, isn't it? And it's amazing how far you've already gone. And it's a long way back. And you say, well, I'll get back anytime I want to. God told me. You get in that pulpit and you tell them that to the point I'm ready to say, I have had enough. I am through with you. And I'm very aware that he's speaking to someone this morning about it. You've been given a repeated admonishment. He that being often reproved. Preacher, what does that mean? It's someone who's been warned. It's someone who God has extended mercy to. Thank God for his mercy this morning. Amen. And the correction of God for sure is a symbol of love, because the Bible says, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. So this reproving is from God. It's not from the devil. It's not from your mom and dad. It's not from your friends. This reproving, this warning has been coming from God the entire time. And it's amazing how he's warned you. He's warned you from this pulpit, yet you continue to go. He's warned you from his word. He's warned you by the preaching of the word of God. He's warned you through the Sunday school teaching, hasn't he? He's warned you through your parents. He's warned you through your children. He's warned you through your friend. He's warned you through your crisis. He's warned you through chastisement. He's warned you through discipline. He's warned you through your employer. Employer, he's warned you through your employees. God has warned you somehow. Yet, you say this morning, he's reproved me, but you do nothing about it. There is absolutely no amount of change that you have been willing to make this entire time. So who is the person addressed? Whosoever. Number two, what is the problem that is alerted to? First of all, he says, he that being often reproved hardeneth his neck. Mercy was extended, but mercy was excused. Let me use this illustration. It's a representation of hardening the neck is likened unto an animal, say a horse or a cow this morning, that has hardened their neck. What you would do to them is you would go and put them in some type of restraint, and you may put them in some type of this is a halter that it's even got a little bell on it. And you would put that one in the halter to try to make a difference in their life. What does that halter do? Well, that halter is given for disciplinary sakes. Amen? It's there because this animal has a wild nature. Amen? It's there because you can hook this animal up to some reins and to a bridle, and you can begin to cause this animal to go work in the field. But it will not work in the field until it first gets under this harness or this halter. It is not in you, is it, to be faithful? It is not in you to be committed. It is not in you to get to work for the glory of God. You have a wild nature. Though you're saved, you still have a wild flesh that wars against you, and he's put you in the halter for disciplinary actions. I can remember one of the greatest things my grandpa told me was he loved to use steers. He would take those steers and he would hook them up and cause them to pull trees out of the forest. When he'd fall in the trees and need to bring them back to the lumber yard, work on them, he would use steers. He said that outworked most of the horses that he had because of their girth and because of their strength. And then a lot of times maybe an animal may wear this. It looks like to me he's got a long face. about the way some of y'all are looking at me this morning. For direction. You pull left, you pull right on the reins, and that tells this animal which way to steer. God has been trying to steer you the right way, and you've been resistant. You've been trying to pull opposite of what God wants you to do. I'm telling you this morning, God has a direction for your life. Then this weight distribution, you see this harness, it helps you once you put the reins on it to evenly distribute the load that this animal's going to be carried to the entire body. Listen, there'll be no harvest. Are you interested in a harvest at this church? Are you interested in a harvest for your life? There'll be no harvest of God's blessing without a harness. It will not happen. Oftentimes with this harness, they'll hook up some restraints, you know, blinders, to keep you focused, to keep you from getting distracted left or right. And I like this one right here. It's got a bell. He already knows where you are. He always, I'm telling you, you can't be down here sowing your wild oats, doing your little thing. He knows where you are. You've tried to quiet it, haven't you? You've tried to slip around so nobody knows what you're up to. Nobody in the church will find out. I'll be okay. God knows just exactly where you are this morning. I'm trying to warn you from the Word of God that He this morning knows everything that you're doing. This hardening your neck is symbol, is symbolically, it's representing an animal that has a wild nature. Look at his response, this wild animal. I'll give you three responses. When he hardens his neck, it is a resistant attitude, being headstrong. Don't tell me what to do, Preacher Darren. Don't you get in that pulpit and tell me what to do. You're mighty bold to get up there and crack open that Bible. I come in here for you to preach love and sweetness and walking through the tulips and pat me on the back and tell me how sweet I am and how you love my family and how important we are to you. Don't you come in here and tell me anything other than that. Preacher Dan, we're young people. We're sitting here in the church, and don't you tell me to honor my parents. I mean, who do they think they are? I'll tell you who they are. They pay your cell phone bill. Amen. They bought you your Nintendo, your Xbox. Bless God, I'll tell you who they are. They're your mom and daddy. When you didn't have a dime to your name and you had made a little messy in your little diaper, they wiped your hind end. They cleaned your vomit. Amen. You ought to honor your mom and daddy. Don't you get up there, Preacher Derek. You go ahead. God has a harness for you. And the best thing you'll ever do is go ahead and take the yoke and take it down. But if you want to continue to resist, well, there's bigger things for you. There's head restraints. There's going to be tough times in your life. Preacher Darren, I didn't really come to hear this today. Well, let me not only you have a resistant attitude, but you've got a rebellious approach. Don't you try to correct me. I can tell by your body language. I don't really like this. I don't really want to hear this. That animal don't like it either. It's time to get to work. What about refusing actions? Well, Preacher Darren, your warning is noted. But don't you expect me to adjust. All right, here's my thought for you. Your tensions brew in your spirit when I even bring it up. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck. I want to show you, if y'all would put that first picture up this morning, this beautiful little calf that I have a picture of. You see this little calf? Come on, somebody say, ooh and ah. This little calf is beautiful little calf. He's being bottle fed. Praise the Lord. He's getting the milk that he might grow thereby. But actually, when you see this beautiful little calf, you need to say, oh no. What is wrong in his life that this has to happen? Well, you see, this little calf has a mama. Next picture, please. He has a mama, and this little calf's mama will not give it milk. Every time this little calf gets around, she kicks this little calf away and won't give her little calf, her own little calf, anything to drink. She is more concerned about herself than she is about her youngins. She's, hear me, church, You are more concerned about yourself than you are about the youth of this church, than you are about the young people and the many ministries that relate to young people in this church. As long as you're happy, you don't care whether they really get the milk or not. You're not willing to make any sacrifice. You just want your nice green grass. But as far as making sure that the young people are getting milk and that they're getting fed, you could really care less. You just want to do what you want to do. So what happens to this mama is she gets walked and put into head restraints. If you'll look at my picture, you will see her halter, her harness, is hanging right beside her. It's been taken off of her. She's been led into the headgear, into the headstock, and there she is. Now she's put in a place, she's in a place of restraint. May I say to you this morning that it is not uncommon for you who want to buck against the will of God and not do what God's will is for your life. The Master has put you in the headgear, in the head restraints. He's got you in the headlock. You don't like it, you're warring against it, you're trying to get it. I'll lay out of church tonight, I won't be back Wednesday, but I promise you this, what's going to happen. When he gets you in that head restraint, amen, you're going to have to learn to submit. And if you decide you're still going to kick wild, you know what's going to happen? You're going to become disease. Yes. And I want you to know that this, look at the next slide. This mother, she decided, well, I'll go ahead and I will honor these restraints that I am given here. And I'm going to, now that I can't move anymore, I'm going to allow my little calf to have milk. Now, praise the Lord, that's a beautiful picture, isn't it? But it's a shame she couldn't be strolling through the grass and enjoying life while still being a blessing to her young. She had to be put in restraints. How many of our churches and how many of our families in this church are in some type of head restraint by the Holy Ghost because you won't do what God would have you do in teaching and training young people? If you're going to teach them the right way, that means you need to be going the right way yourself. And God told me to warn you, you've been told before, you're not getting away with it anymore. Is it? Next slide, please. So I want you to see, we go back to this little calf. And after it has drunk some milk from its mother, it still has to have more milk from the bottle. Why is that, Preacher Darren? Because its mother is not supplying enough milk to meet the needs of this little calf. And so now it must be supplemented. You know what the problem is? She won't eat. She's bowed up. Though she's in the head restraint, she won't eat. You saw her feed box there. Plenty of feed. She won't eat. And let me tell you what's going to happen to her. If something don't change, y'all pray for them little cows there. If something don't change, she's going to get a disease called mastitis. She'll lose her bag, and she'll be not fit for her little one, and she'll not be fit for the rest of the herd, and she'll be put down. You see, he that is often reproved and hardened his neck shall suddenly be destroyed. And that without remedy. All right, let's go back to the Word of God now. We have seen her response. She has a resistant attitude. She has a rebellious approach. She's refusing actions. She just will not eat. Now there's a generation. Y'all saw them up here singing just a minute ago. And I'll be honest, I sat over here and wept, and they sang, Jesus loves me. And I said, oh, that's good, but does the church love them? I mean, do you really love them? There's a generation counting on you eating, partaking of the Word of God, and doing the will of God. They're counting on you being example to them, and feeding them, and teaching them, and training them. What are they getting from you? They don't care about your golf score. They don't care what your discount was on that pair of shoes that you laid out of church to buy. They do not care about anything other than that their needs are met by someone who loves them and cares for them. Thirdly, and I'm done. The Bible does tell us that rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. You go ahead and buck on me all you want to, but as God's man in this pulpit, you better realize who you're bucking against. It's not me, it's Him. The Bible says to obey is better than sacrifice. Number three, there's a punishment that is assured. It is sudden destruction, mercy extended, mercy excused, and mercy excluded. You realize that for whatever this is that you keep doing and what you keep playing with and whoever it is that you've got the grudge with and you won't lay it down, this may be your last time. You cannot live in this rebellion forever. Well, you say, Preacher Darren, it's taken God a long time to bring chastisement. Just because it's taken Him a long time doesn't mean it's going to take Him to forever to handle it. If you think it's fun, get up here and preach this message and look at your face. You ought to stand where I am. This is going to be the last time you fall into that sin. This may be the last time you put on your shoes. Or Chris says, many a person that you picked up that was still wearing their shoes when you picked them up, put their shoes on that morning, had no idea this would be the last time they tied their shoes. Had no idea this would be the last time they'd stop at Hardee's and get a biscuit. Had no idea when they kissed their wife goodbye, they was really kissing their wife goodbye. Had no idea when they said goodbye to their children, they were really saying goodbye to their children. Had no idea when they continued down the road and it was over. And the reason they met a sudden destruction, the reason they met an early doom, was because they scoffed at God's word. They scoffed at God's reproval. They scoffed at God's warning. The Bible says it'll be a sad demise. It'll be without remedy. Hey, some of you, you've brought this to God before. You've tried to lay it down, and within the week you picked it back up again. And I want to say this to you. You've laid on this altar and you've cried, but there's a last time you've done it. It may be the last time if you don't really repent of it, if you don't really turn from it. This may be your last service. When God says there's no remedy, there's no remedy. I'll go back. I saw two girls sitting in the back of a church years ago, preaching, passing notes, laughing, having a big time. Nowadays, what I see is they're texting each other and getting on Snapchat, and they don't think the preacher knows. They don't think the preacher has no idea. We're back here texting each other and laughing about it and smiling and having a good time. Your preacher's not a doofus. Give me a little credit. When we're in here and the Holy Ghost is working and wooing and you scorned and rejected, God's going to get you. He's going to get you. He's got a halter and a harness for you, but you don't want it. He's got a head restraint for you, but you don't want it. But I tell you what you're going to be. You're going to be an example for everybody else because you're going down. God's going to see to it. You're going to be suddenly destroyed, and that without remedy. I'm talking about a God who can heal anybody. A God who can do anything says, no, be no help for you. I will laugh when your calamity comes. There'll be no remedy. But 2 Chronicles chapter 36. Thank you, Lord. 2 Chronicles chapter 36. I was preaching, two girls in the back passing notes, having a big time, mocking, having fun. I get ready to dismiss the service. Out of my mouth, I said, I've warned you, and now your blood's going to be on your own hands. And they laughed. I saw them laugh and shrug their shoulders and gooch each other. And I saw one of them's head fall down just like this, and she put her head down in her hands. I thought, what in the world is she doing? She laughing. She stepped out from my buddy. She started making her way down the center aisle of the church. She came up to where I was. I noticed when she got about halfway, blood was running down her hands, dripping down her forearm, dripping off her elbows all over that beautiful carpet. She landed right in the altar. I came, motioned for me. I came to where she was, and she said, look, I laughed at you, and I laughed at God. when you said my blood would be on my hands. And now look, Preacher Darren, look, somehow my nose is ruptured. Can you explain it? I said, you better get right with God while he's extending you mercy. She began to beg God to forgive her. She wasn't interested in drying up her nose and getting rid of her blood. She was interested in getting rid of her sin and acknowledging a holy, righteous God and the mercy he'd extended to her that day. And I'm telling you what, God did a supernatural thing. He saved her soul. He forgave her of her sin. He healed her busted nose. She stood up and she turned around as a testimony and she said to her friend, called her name and said, you life too, you know you need to be in this altar. And that girl was close to the door. She could have stepped out and ran down the sidewalk and got in the parking lot and ran out of there. But she didn't. She jumped up and ran to an old-fashioned altar and she got right with God as well. I want to say to you, God is not playing with somebody this morning. In 2 Chronicles chapter 36, verse number 16, but they mocked the messengers of God and despised his words and misused his prophets until the wrath of the Lord arose against his people till there was no remedy. The book of Proverbs chapter number 6, the Bible says in verse 15, therefore shall his calamity come suddenly. Suddenly shall he be broken without remedy. The book of Proverbs chapter 1, verse 24, because I've called and you refused. I've stretched out my hand and no man regarded. You have said it not, my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. Israel believed they could get away with it. You think you can get away with it. You've got a good mama. You've got a good daddy. You've got a godly church to go to. You've got a good Sunday school teacher. You've been blessed with all the blessings of God. You've got a preacher that loves you and cares for you. But I'm telling you, if you think for 1 second you continue to sit under the preaching of the Word of God and keep drinking the way you're drinking and keep drugging the way you're drugging and keep cheating the way you're cheating and keep cussing the way you're cussing, you're bad wrong, son. You're bad wrong, ma'am. It's not going to happen. Preacher Darren, let me tell you something. You know how foolish you are to do this? You brag about it on your Facebook account. You put your picture of you drinking your beer on your Facebook account and try to laugh at your buddies, but it is a smear in the face of Almighty God.